Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's Wes College football season, and the King of College football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football with the King of College football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show, Sun Sports Day.
Chuck Oliver Show, rolling along, hour two. Hey, Wednesday, appreciate everybody getting in for your college football conversation. I hope you are enjoying the program. It was Chris Landry in hour one, and that is normally nothing but just porch swings and apple pie. I mean, the thing about the two segments we do every Wednesday with Chris Landry, always spot on information, just the context, the experience, etc. And the part is, given what we know, we've had Chris on now for almost, 4.5 years, I think it is, almost 5 years, that coming up, Combine, pro days, draft, and all that. He is as on as he ever is, no doubt about it. So that was Chris Landry. That was hour one. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Adam Friedman. We've had Adam on before, right? Well, the final 7 days to the traditional signing day, which is a week from right now. So we'll talk with Adam Friedman. And then coming up bottom of the hour, Shane Beamer, South Carolina. He will be with us right now. Let me get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365.
A couple of headlines involving expected outcomes. One of them is Derek Mason's going to Oklahoma State. Another is LSU, which they're on a roll. And we were talking about high school recruiting yesterday with Harold Perkins, and maybe he's on campus. And I didn't have the information yesterday if he was going to be on campus this weekend, and I think that's what's actually the case is. And when I say I didn't have it, I think it was out there. I didn't have it. But I think he is there this weekend. But they've also been hitting the college transfer portal. And we told you two kids from Arkansas. They just got an all-conference performer from the Big 12, another corner, heading down to LSU. So McLaughlin leaving and Eli Rigney. It's premium that has swung the portal door out of Baton Rouge. But Brian Kelly's looking around going, hey, I'm a new coach. You know what the advantage is for a new coach here? Like when Sylvester Croom showed up in Starkville, I think the number was 17 of Jackie's players. He looked around, had to run off. You just had to replace him on your own. This way, Brian Kelly, he didn't run kids off, but like Max Johnson, I want to start guaranteed. No, I'll let you compete. I'm leaving. Okay. I get it. Hey, no kid, no hard feelings. So they're doing their job. But this brings up weird. Now, did you see San Diego State, for instance? They brought in Virginia Tech's starting quarterback from last year. It's just not weird anymore. It's weird. We are desensitized to it now. I was watching, Mike Morgan was doing the game, actually. That's why I kind of lingered. Texas A&M was playing hoops over the weekend at home. And I'm trying to remember who they were playing. And so I'm just watching for a few minutes. And it's the first half, and I watched, like, until the, I don't know, about the 12-minute mark. And the fourth time that I hear, and this was the, like, a 6'2 guard from Texas A&M, lead the team in rebounding somehow. Of course, he did that at Virginia Tech last year when he was the Hokie's second-leading scorer. And I'm like, this is the fourth time they've talked about an A&M player like that in the first 8 minutes of the game. It's weird, but it happens so often. You know what? I may not even be thinking that or even notice going forward. Because if you would have said 3 years ago, I was like, oh, my gosh, what planet am I living on? I've got more to talk about. I just didn't get to all of it. All right, we're going to take a break. We will come back. More of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Catch the king of college football no matter where you go. The new Southern Sports Today. It's the best college football conversation in the South everywhere. The SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store Play Store. Now more of the best college fall talking. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Was a time, and you don't have to take the DeLorean back very long, where if there was any attention paid to Dan Mullen's comments following the, maybe it was the Georgia game, maybe it was the Georgia game, maybe it was the week before, whenever, about recruiting, yeah, we'll handle that after the season. He didn't mean that. He meant we'll talk about it after the season. Now he doesn't have to. But there was a time when I would have reacted, yeah, what's the issue? That's when I talk recruiting. I got a radio show. That's not what recruiting is anymore. It's 13 months a year, if there's a way for it to be that. And with the portal, I mean, it literally is. All a kid has to do is declare and then enroll, and he can play for you. So it never ends, man. And our next guest certainly knows that. Part of why he is employed. Want to welcome back on from Rivals. It is Adam Friedman. Adam, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. You know, wheels are turning really fast over here. Signing day is a week from today. Trying to finish up this 2022 class and move on to this really impressive 23 class.
Yeah, and along those lines, I want to ask you because I know that I talked to all my friends, you know, in the recruiting industry and the recruiting business, and a lot of what happened in 2020 that affected so many players, your recruits and coaches, was just the camps. All right, but we're not having those. They're back. And I was looking at, for instance, the Rivals series coming up. If you let me pick five places in America to have a high school football, college football recruiting camp, I would pick South Florida, Southern California, New Orleans, Dallas, and Atlanta. All five of those for Rivals, plus a few others, L.A. and Miami, obviously the locations there. Talk about the camp series. And it was a real thing how it made everything more difficult and unreliable a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's all about getting information on these players and being able to see development in a player year over year. A lot of these players that we have at camps have been coming for a couple of years, and to be able to see that progression and see how their performances improve year over year, it really gives you a lot of confidence in players, and confidence in players equals higher rankings. And it's not just at Rivals camps. Of course, we're out there seeing players at a number of other camps and other 7-on-7 tournaments throughout the offseason. But Rivals camps really allow us to get an up-close look at players that are going to be playing at the Power 5 level. Almost every single player that attends a Rivals camp will be playing at the Power 5 level. We also have the Rivals Combine Series, which takes place at all the same locations just the day before. Anybody can sign up for those combines. We take a few of those top performers from the combines and bring them back for the next day at the camp. So a really great opportunity for players that are trying to get onto the radar. If they come and perform well at the combines, they're able to come back for the next day at the camp and really get put under the microscope with all of our analysts and scouts from all of the team sites there.
Yeah, getting on the radar, not an issue for Harold Perkins or Shamar Stewart, a couple of five-star defensive recruits. And at times, Texas A&M commits. Talk about those two players in particular as we close in on signing day, but then also the Texas A&M class in general. What's going on with it? Still going to be outstanding.
Yeah, it is from top to bottom an outstanding recruiting class for sure. Jimbo Fisher bringing in elite prospects, starting off with number two overall prospect, Walter Nolan. I absolutely loved the way he played at the Under Armour All-America game, the practices. He was the alpha during the week there. He bullied every offensive lineman he came across, except for maybe a Devon Campbell, a five-star offensive lineman who is still uncommitted. Nolan is a phenomenal prospect. Evan Stewart, a receiver, five-star as well. Elite speed from him. Denver Harris, a lockdown five-star cornerback. Connor Wigman, a really, really talented dual-threat quarterback who is going to have some great targets to throw to. I keep going down the list here. Chris Marshall, an unbelievably talented receiver, 6'4", 200-plus pounds, can really stretch the field and wins almost every jump ball that comes his way. Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, a defensive tackle from Florida, a stout interior lineman who had surprising quickness and strength and really shocked some of the interior linemen that he came across in Orlando. And then Anthony Lucas, another one. We could go on and on about these guys, but they have so many outstanding players in this recruiting class, a ton of them ranked within the top, the Rivals 250, I should say. Currently in this class, as we're still rolling out the final rankings here this week, but currently 3 5-star prospects, 24-star prospects, and so one of the best average star ratings per recruit in this class. Currently the number 2 overall class behind Alabama. A really, really great class for the Aggies. Could help them get over the hump and an SEC title possibly and into the college football playoff down the road.
Talk LSU recruiting their last weekend. Like everybody else, they wanted to be as big as possible. I believe I saw that Harold Perkins is going to be on campus. They're going for a 5-star safety as well. Jalen Davis Robinson, he's a 3-star kid out of Texas, and they're trying to get him too. This is what's known as a late kick. Talk about LSU and Brian Kelly and that staff and their recruiting.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the guys that they're going after. They luckily locked in some really talented players in the early signing period. Walker Howard, Quincy Wiggins, new 5-star defensive end. Will Campbell, a really talented offensive tackle out of Louisiana as well. Harold Perkins, you keep talking about him. He is such an interesting recruit right now. Just outside of 5-star range for us in the final Rivals 250. A linebacker, was committed to A&M and is really looking around. He really enjoyed his visit to Florida. LSU is trying to get in there, possibly going to get on campus this weekend. His plans seem to change minute by minute, depending on who you talk to. Miami was also involved at one point and could still be involved. We'll see how things turn out for Harold Perkins, though. You also mentioned Shamar Stewart with A&M. I mean, he's a really, really talented defensive end. We just elevated him to 5-star status. Miami is coming on strong for him. Texas A&M very much in the mix as well. He looked like he was leaning that direction just a month ago. And Georgia also very much involved with him as well. But I would not put my money. I guess the smart bet in my mind might be on Miami because it's a hometown team for Shamar Stewart, but we'll see how things turn out over this last week or so. But with LSU, they've got some big-time targets still remaining, like you mentioned. Harold Perkins is the top one, hoping to reel in Jacoby Matthews as well, 5-star safety, in-state prospect. We'll see how things turn out there. It is definitely an A&M and LSU battle for him, I think. Florida is working on trying to get him get him on campus and all that. But I think those two guys, it'll be interesting to see where they'll be the storyline come signing day next week.
Wrapping up, Adam Friedman from Rivals. He knows Cruden. How do you crystal ball that it winds up with Napier and UF? You mentioned them there with Harold Perkins. How do you think eventually it winds up? Because they've gotten some doors open that weren't open a couple months ago.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. I think that they could surprise some people, but they are a little bit behind. I guess they're kind of losing a little bit of momentum, I would say, with Harold Perkins because of all this LSU smoke. But we'll see how things turn out there. Again, it changes minute by minute with that guy. But they did a nice job getting Trevor Etienne on in the fold. They brought in a couple of guys like Jalen Farmer. They had a nice commitment over the weekend from a defensive end out in Washington. So things will turn out well at Florida. They're definitely prioritizing recruiting, unlike the previous staff.
I want to ask you about a changing trend, because it used to be that by the time you actually won a national championship, if you remember Jamie Newberg way back in the day, he's a recruiting OG. He said, yeah, by the time you actually win the national championship, it doesn't give you any benefit that year because most of the kids are already, committed and they sign a few weeks later. That ain't the case anymore with the transfer portal. If you win a national championship like Kirby, I know you're a sniper, his name's Shotgun, because you got so few, scholarships available, but you really can kind of cash in, can't you?
You definitely can. I mean, it's almost like the Wild West right now with the portal. Guys are going after players that are pretty much already on campus or guys who are still on rosters. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work going on, I think, and the transfer portal, we're going to see something change with the portal from the NCAA level, coming up in the next, I would hope, sooner rather than later, because it really is getting crazy for coaches trying to just manage their roster overall.
Yep.
But Georgia, they've gotten some big-time players. There's a lot of interest there. They lost Jermaine Burton, too, a guy who just helped them win the national title. They lost them to the team they beat in the national title game in Alabama. So it is a little wild right now with the transfer portal, and I'm hoping to see something change to get it under control a little bit more, but it is fun trying to keep track of all these players and where they're going to end up.
Last question for you. A situation like Jim Harbaugh having a pop-up season, it's a heritage program, money's not a problem, budget, whatever else. And then immediately following this, it's all talk about will he be there and which NFL team may want him. I right now, if I was at a window and I could bet, I'd say it's 50-50 whether he's the coach at Michigan. There's 9 NFL openings. Does that affect their recruiting class in the least?
A little bit, but they do have a very strong assistant coaching staff there. And a lot of those players that are headed to Michigan aren't necessarily going there to play for Jim Harbaugh. Those relationships that they've built are with the assistant coaches there, and they want to play with those guys and learn from those guys. Harbaugh steers the ship, but the other guys are really a lot more hands-on. So it is important because Harbaugh is the guy who attracted the assistant coaches there, and he again steers the ship. But when you talk about the impact on the recruits themselves, not a ton, but those assistant coaches where those guys end up, I think that is where you'll see a lot of the effects on the recruits, I would say.
All right, brother, I appreciate it as always. Enjoy the next week.
All right, thanks very much for having me again.
Yeah, exactly. From Rivals, Adam Friedman. And the next week, yeah, that's what he's going to enjoy. He is the accountant on like April 9th or 10th. And the difference is that at least you can exhale after that. And it's not really what it is anymore. And it's great for business. And you sleep with your cell phones. And you work 25 hours a day, and it's not just leading up to one intense day and then kind of the aftermath and fall off from that. But like I said, it's great for business. In fact, it's a business that really did not exist. If you go back certainly 25 years, Alan Wallace, Forrest Davis, other names that you may remember. I hadn't thought about Forrest Davis in forever. And it was something called mimeograph, if you know what a mimeograph was, or if they were fancy, it may have been laser, or it possibly even actual printed, but folded over, stapled, and dropped in the mail. There's your recruiting update. And so whatever was going on the desk when I started with Alabama, because they come first in alphabetical order in, whatever region. So Alabama comes first, and by the time I finished it and mailed it out, it was a month later. And so you paid, and it just showed up. That's obviously not what it is anymore. And it's the same thing with the draft. That literally was what mimeograph. If you don't know what a mimeograph was, go look that up. Mel Kiper had a mimeograph machine back in like 1981 or 2 or 3. He'd run stuff off, staple it, boom, mail it off. It wasn't good for business. It was the business. He invented the thing, the draft industry. And same thing with recruiting. And so now with the transfer portal, it's going to be its own offshoot, and it's also going to get reeled in by the NCAA.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
More college football talk with the king of college football, Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Always all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. I got to update my rap. Nine states, 55 stick, needle scratch. It's not 55, it sticks anymore. Welcome to the Emerald Coast, Pensacola, Fort Walton Beach, Panama City, all along there. Emerald Coast, the Ticket Sports Network, that is where we are now. Began that on Monday, so it's good to be there every afternoon saying hello to everybody in the Florida coast. That's actually, I've talked about this before. I say Mobile is my second home. That's where my dad grew up. My mom was over in a place called Cantonment, which is over kind of in Florida. And so, like, on the water in Alabama, Panhandle in Florida, that's where all the folks were. That's where all the people were. And that's where we vacationed, a place called Perdido Key. And, I mean, you just don't get any better than that. And, by the way, I love everything going over on yonder on the Atlantic coast. I've said this before. Who wants a sunrise on vacation? Give me a sunset on vacation. So that whole area that we're on now, the Ticket Sports Network, the Emerald Coast, that is where, I don't know, whenever I drew my last paycheck, that is absolutely where we're going to wind up heading. So, again, it's 56 sticks now. Appreciate that. We continue with the Chuck Oliver Show on this Monday. And I told you we're going to be talking to Shane Beamer, the South Carolina head coach. And if you look back at last season, there is so much about that year that if you just look at the bird's eye of it, I was like, close your eyes and open them in December. You would be confused more than anything else. If you just looked at the win-loss record, it would not seem necessarily congruous with a whole lot else. They had, obviously, the transition and the coaching staff and everything else. And when the season started, and it was 2-0 start, but it was such a struggle, I thought that was going to be something that kind of threaded its way through the entire season. And, of course, I was wrong because they go 7-6. No, it was a week-to-week sort of thing. Finished with a winning record, beat good teams along the way, allow more points than you score. Now, not by a whole lot. And, again, you were basically even plus one on the win-loss total, and you were even minus a little bit on the point differential. But if you go back, look at the games that some of them, the games that they won. And again, I'm saying some of them were against the some of the better competition, more heritage programs for South Carolina. Just a tremendous job showing grit and determination and upperclassmen and maturity and preparation and all of that to get close wins. And then in some of the losses, it wasn't exactly the same thing. Lost by 30 to Texas A&M, lost by 30 to Clemson, lost by 25 to Tennessee, lost by 30 to Georgia. So we're going to go ahead and take a break right now. We will come back and wrap up with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right? Which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart. There needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Because of his lack of winning in the game and winning in postseason, I'm not sure what his postseason record is, but it doesn't, I can't think of any gigantic things that you remember, that makes it tougher to have a win-loss legacy. So I guess I got to give him a one star on the win-loss thing.
That's Jim Tressel. He used to be the coach at Ohio State, and now he is, was he an administrator still at Youngstown?
Yeah, I think he's the president, I think.
There you go, president of the college. Jim Tressel. And there are some Ohio State people who will just stab me in the neck for saying this. But that was Jim Tressel talking about Jim Harbaugh. And I am going to give an opinion here. This is Chuck stepping out because all we do is play the audio there. Chuck stepping out. Chuck's opinion. He was being tongue-in-cheek there. And I think not just a little. Now, what he cited was accurate. And Jim Harbaugh, the Wolverines won the Citrus Bowl. It's not a big deal. Not to me anymore, Citrus Bowl. It's a fine bowl. You probably got to win 9 or 10 or so, or maybe even 11, and because of your conference, you wind up getting the Citrus Bowl. And so you had a really good season. It's a fine place to go. Michigan won the Citrus Bowl in 2015. They have not won a bowl game since. So he's accurate there. And in the game, he's correct about that. So it's an accurate statement, but it's really not the kind of thing you say unless what? Unless it's tongue-in-cheek. It has to be. It's a little unbecoming for a president to really, like, chest out, pointing fingers. Like, why not just go middle finger and tweet it, you know? So I think that's what he was doing. Now, I'll be tongue-in-cheek as well and say that Jim Harbaugh, with his, you give him a one star, as far as the coaching side of it, what about the personal conduct side of it? Because Jim Harbaugh has not left his program on probation. Jim Harbaugh did not provide cars to a running back. Jim Harbaugh did not make deals with the NCAA and then back out of it. Jim Harbaugh has not, as far as I know, lied consistently to the media. That's things that I would say about Jim Harbaugh that I know. That would be me. But Jim Tressel gave him the one star on the coaching resume, and that is just fine. I've been talking a little bit, actually quite a bit, about just the overall situation at Auburn. And we even had Chris Landry on today and talked about it. We had Jordan Hill on whenever we had Jordan Hill on and discussed a little bit. And the situation at Auburn. Well, you mean the offensive line? No, I think that's getting better. I actually do. And so we could talk about that and the improvement, the blue sky there. And I think that's what exists, blue sky. No, I'm saying the situation at Auburn, because, like, the situation that would matter on January 26th, and recruiting can matter on January 26th. The offensive line doesn't actually matter on January 26th because ain't no game. But recruiting and future and how they worked out, and did anybody get injured? You know, he was bench press and tore pectoral muscle. Oh, gosh. But for the most part, it doesn't really matter on January 26th. There's no ramifications. There is, if it's a disharmony, and I said if. There's a disharmonious environment behind the scenes. And there is a question that I want to ask, because I try to do this on, like, the fair full spectrum here. And so there is a question I do want to ask that maybe the answer to it, maybe we're thinking differently about that environment around the Auburn program. And I'm talking about Brian Harsin and the coaching staff turnover and players leaving. That kind of happens. The Kobe Hudson one kind of stood out a little bit because of his comments. But again, I put that under the realm of I'm not there. I don't know what's what. And I'll say that that's a kid, 20-year-old, who's, you know, off put by something and got dismissed. And so it was not a bombastic, flamboyant, curse word filled, it seemed like a reasonable response. He's just kind of expressing his end of it. And that's what it was, Kobe Hudson's end of it. So I just presented what other people have said. But it's been how many times we presented that. But if you answer one question, there's a chance we're thinking differently about that. Were these actually Brian Harsin's hires? And I don't know that they were. I'm talking about the formation of his original staff. Now, here's what I can tell you, because this is documented. December 22nd, Brian Harsin hired. And that's December 22nd. That was, gosh, what is it, a week or so after? It was the Tuesday, 9 days after Auburn season ended. Brian Harsin hired. January 7th, Mike Bobo was hired. Derek Mason also officially hired that day to be offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Universally lauded. Now, that meant 16 days had passed between Brian Harsin getting the job and Brian Harsin hiring his coordinators, having both coordinators hired. The reason I mentioned those positions instead of the offensive line coach or, you know, the linebacker, or Zach Etheridge, who coaches corners or safeties or maybe all of the secondary. The reason I don't mention those guys is because the reason I mentioned Bobo and Mason is because those guys aren't coaches at Auburn anymore. And so Harsin hired December 22nd, January 7th, it's announced. Bobo's hired, Mason's hired. January 16th, they full 9 days in addition to the previous 16. Cornelius Williams is hired to coach wide receivers. He'd been at Troy for 6 years, and boom. After he had taken his time, because that's the theme of this next quote, and I went on AL.com, and I don't know who wrote the article, and I apologize for that, but it's in print. You can go read it. It's his words. After his 10-man assistant coaching staff fully fleshed out, Brian Harsin was asked, hey, it's the end of January. You got hired about third week of December. Why did it take you over a month to get everything done? Why did you choose to take this long? Not so long, but why did you take this long? Because some guys, they've got that Rolodex, and boom, all 10 spots filled. Let's go. Time to recruit. When I asked, after he had hired all the assistants, Brian Harsin said his mission, quote, has been about doing everything right rather than doing everything quickly. You start with a goal and vision, find people, all that stuff. Find great people. That takes time. You find great people, that takes time. A lot of times when you have staff changes, sense of urgency, but at the same time, you want to make sure you get to know people. Finding people with ability in all phases that fit with what we're trying to accomplish. That goes for coaches and players. I really believe that. All right, so that's his words. After he hired Bobo, after Mason was hired, after Cornelius Williams, it takes time. Finding people with abilities in all phases that fit with what we're doing, that's what we're trying to accomplish. So I took my time to make sure I got to know people, because they will fit in all phases of what we're doing. And that is after, and again, he's the head coach, here are the hires. Week later, he says that. There have then, in the next 12 months, been way more "we wish him the best" speeches coming from the Plains than we typically get in a first-year situation, where most often, I assume, especially given this timeline, that you hired him. I said we were talking with Ingram Smith, and I said something about Odell Hagans. Like, he's furniture in Tallahassee. He comes with the program now. When you're hiring Mike Norvell or Willie or whomever else, in the interview process, when the AD is sitting across the desk and the coaching candidate, whoever it was, and so for my 10 assistants, he was, oh, excuse me, no, you're 9 assistants. Go ahead. Well, no, the 10, remember they added the 10th one. Yes, you get 9 assistants. Go ahead. What are you, 10? No, Odell's here. Couch, end table, water cooler, Odell. Sometimes that's the case. I don't know this, but at least I will ask the question. Were these his hires? Was there already momentum for Mike Bobo and Derek Mason to the point that Brian Harsin looked around and was like, there was no momentum for me. There was momentum for Kevin Steele, and then Alan Green did his own thing. And so maybe this is the, hey, you got to meet us halfway because you weren't even supposed to be the head coach. So give extra attention in the interview. You hire who you want. Give extra attention. Make sure you keep a parking space near the door when it's Derek Mason, when it's Mike Bobo. And then, hey, hire whoever you want. Cornelius Williams. Now, maybe there is an easy answer out here, and I'm going to apologize if I don't know it. But there is also, like, why is Cadillac on the staff? I think that's the first recruiting Brian Harsin did. All right, I would like to keep Tank Bigsby. Cadillac, how are you? Tell me all about Auburn. Take me out to Country's Barbecue. That was the first recruiting. As he built the staff, and you see the staff now, because who's gone? Mike Bobo, Southern guy, gone. Cornelius Williams, wide receiver, gone. Derek Mason, not a Southern guy, a lot of Southern experience now, head coach at Vanderbilt, gone. Look at the staff now. It looks a whole lot. And this, by the way, this could be fan best staff in America. Who knows? It looks a whole lot like staff at Boise. And at Boise, I don't think the staff had a lot of contacts with Valdosta High and Dillard High and Escambia County High. I don't think so. Feiger, I don't think so. And so there are times, I told you why Turner Gill didn't get the job at Auburn. It didn't have anything to do with him being black. And that was the conversation at the time. And there was not a legit conversation because it wasn't true. It was conversation among folks, reasonable folks. Hey, is this the case? He was going to put together a staff. My understanding from folks in the room, that's all I can tell you. I wasn't there. Is, well, so what about the staff? Because Turner, I mean, he was sizzling hot. So what about the staff? This all sounds great. This guy from Nebraska, this guy from Ohio State, this guy from Michigan, this guy from, and who knows Valdosta or Dillard or, who? Yeah, nobody. No. We've got great coaches coming in. Hey, thank you for coming by, Turner. Really appreciate your time. Maybe, I don't know this, Brian Harsin. Again, maybe as we got to the end of your staff being completed, dude, we need to talk. And I don't know who it is. Maybe it's a booster. Maybe it's Cadillac. Maybe it's Alan Green. Brian, walk with me. And if it's Alan Green, do you know what Alan Green, if it was Alan, do you know what he would have sense enough to tell him? I'm not even from here, and I know you got to have coaches from here. So there's this guy down at Troy, Cornelius Williams. I don't know how he wound up on the staff. I know that he wasn't on the staff after week four. There have been way more "we wish him the best" speeches coming from the Plains than you usually get in a first-year situation where you assume the coach hired the guy. Derek Mason, quote, "First and foremost, I want to thank Coach Mason for his leadership as our defensive coordinator this past season. Wish him nothing but the best for him on his next steps." Cornelius Williams, after he fired him, "Appreciate everything he did for us while he was here. I appreciate his family. He's a good young coach and certainly looking forward to things that will happen for him in the future." Here is the curveball, because I set Dan Matthews to working like this morning in the AM. And I said, "I'm going to give you some time. And at the end of the show, we will boil down your results." I gave you the word for word quote after Derek Mason exited the property, the "we wish him the best" speech. Gave you the word-for-word quote after Cornelius Williams exited the property, "we wish him the best" speech. I couldn't find anything after Mike Bobo was fired. And when I say I couldn't find anything, I mean I couldn't find anything. And by the timeline, he was fired November 27th, 28th or so. I saw a statement released from Kirk Sampson, good friend of mine, real good guy, who works at Auburn, has been there forever and in charge of the, you know, the media relations there. Saw a statement from Kirk Sampson. And then there was a press conference a couple of weeks later where you addressed some other stuff. But, Dan, I will say maybe you found something. I hope you did. I didn't find a word that Brian Harsin said about Mike Bobo.
The closest thing I was able to find was a video on YouTube from the Birmingham Bowl press conference, and it was not even directly asked about Mike Bobo. It was asking about finding the right coach and the timeline to be able to do that to replace said offensive coordinator, because the day before was the signing day press conference, and it was said who I couldn't tell what staff member it was, yeah. But they said, let's keep it the signing day today. Tomorrow in Birmingham, we can address this. There was transfer portal. There was offensive line. There was Bo Nix. No Mike Bobo.
Wow. That's it. That's, you have a head coach at a place where people care. I'm not even going to say no disrespect. I just speak the truth here. At Vanderbilt, do what you want. There were Vanderbilt fans who showed up for week one whenever it was 10 years ago. Like, literally, I bet you there's a Vanderbilt fan that showed up week one and was like, who's that guy on the sidelines? Where's Coach Johnson? Dude, he quit. When? I don't know, like 6 weeks ago? Really? I promise you that happened. No, they care at Auburn. How do you fire the OC? And again, I give you the disclaimer. I looked. I sat down on it. I haven't found a single word. How do you fire the offensive coordinator and you don't even give him the we wish him the best? Do you not wish Mike Bobo the best? What do you got, Dan? Anything else?
No, that's exactly it. I mean, that's why, you know, I'm not trying to criticize anybody that does this job, because this job is hard enough. But it's one of those that the only thing I can think of at this point, Chuck, is that through a roundabout way, they were told, don't ask about Mike Bobo. It is not in your best interest to ask about Mike Bobo. I mean, that's the only thing I can think. How do you not ask about the most important job on your staff, aside from the head coach, not being there anymore?
No. What was it? Do you remember the mic? Because Dan's saying there are times when media, and you can do this and get away with it in some circumstances, where media rep person will walk out and go, hey, coach is about to walk in. Let's keep it. The correct way to do the wrong thing is, let's keep it to just recruiting, for instance.
Right.
The wrong way is, no questions. Do you remember the Miami PR?
Yeah.
All right, Coach Cristobal is going to come in. No questions about how the hiring unfolded. Wait a minute. We have a brand new coach coming in, and this is him meeting the press, and the only thing, don't talk about the timeline of how he was hired. That's what you talk about, especially for a UM grad. My goodness.
I mean, and that's the thing, too, is if nothing else, I mean, you want to be able to have your questions asked, especially, too, if you're a day-to-day person who is there. You feel like you've built up that trust, too, if nothing else, when you have to be critical. Then indeed, it's he's got his opinions because he's here every single day. I at least respect them for that.
Yeah, I took all of Dan's time. Dan had something back there. I don't even know what it was. We don't tell each other, and that's on purpose. I'm sure it was something just A+, but I took all my time here because I was so borderline outraged.
Permission for an extended tease?
Yeah.
I'll have it on the Southern Beat podcast that's going to be launched later today.
Boom. I've been in the room when that's happened. Hey, let's keep it to whatever. And I'm not the local media, and so I don't go in there with a flamethrower, but I'm usually not. I'll put it this way. I wouldn't have the same ramifications, consequences, etc., just because I'm not there the next time. And that's an advantage for folks. Thayer Evans and Pete Thamel and all guys like that. All right, wraps up on a Wednesday. Appreciate everybody getting in. We'll be back tomorrow. Again, 22 hours.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.